Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You are listening to the 23 Personnel Podcast, where food and sports clash at the goal line. Here are your hosts, Spencer and Michael.
All right, everybody, welcome back to an instant reaction of the 23 Personnel Podcast. I'm your host, Spencer, joined by Michael.
Hello, everybody. And man, Spencer, how about that? I mean, 1-0, starting off the season on the right foot, heading into the Texas game undefeated.
You did what you're supposed to do, man.
It's great.
You came out with the win.
And football back, isn't it?
If only we could keep that charade up for so long. You did win. Sweet. We had this conversation with Rob Bro today. Like, what would you learn from this game? He's like, I think there's plenty to learn from a game. And typically
good.
I was about to say, if you're learning something from an FCS game, it's not going to be good. Texas Tech wins this game 35-33 versus Houston Baptist, a team where you were favored to beat them by 41 points.
Yeah, came down to a failed two-point conversion, an option to not go for a field goal, a crucial third down conversion on Tech's behalf with 3 minutes left in the fourth. So it sounds like a two-point game because it was. It wasn't as if Tech was up 35-17 and somehow the wheels came off. They luckily never trailed.
It got close.
So there's that.
It got close.
They did get close.
They got within they got within a one-point game there late in the third quarter. 21-20.
Yep. 21-20. Yep. And I think that Our scoring predictions were a little off, just for our listeners, in case you heard us earlier this week.
It's just a little bit.
Well, I'm just going to throw it out there because, you know, we like to stay true to our listeners. Spencer predicted 56-24. I predicted 48-17. And for those of you who can do quick math, that meant neither of us predicted that Tech would cover the 37.5 point spread, which is what was available on Tuesday. That since moved to 42, 44, wherever you're looking. Obviously did not cover that, did not come even close to that. But I think, Spencer, I'd say that you and I were both coming into this game expecting Tech to squeak out 4, maybe 5 wins this year. Coming into this game, we expected a little bit better execution. We expected a more dominant win. And so this is disappointing to see that the secondary is just as bad, if not worse, than they were last year, and that the two groups that seem to be doing the best are the linebackers and the running backs.
Yeah. Looking back at our preseason predictions, I think we both predicted 4 wins. If this is indicative of the team you're going to look at the rest of the season, you're not winning 4 games. You may not win 2 games. So before we talk about how atrocious the pass defense was, you were joking on the pregame radio show today that Texas Tech couldn't be 128th again, but
it's a fact.
It's a fact. But here's my counterpoint. You can still be last. You can still be last in pass defense. You gave up
five. They may have that now. I don't know. There's a chance they may already be last.
Nowhere to go but up. Okay, sorry. I said we do the offense first. Alan Bowman had a relatively decent game. The numbers like this from a Big 12 conference game, you'd be like, man, I'll take that. He's 38 for 52 for 430 yards, two touchdowns, one interception, passer rating of 151.4. There's nothing you can complain about there. The interception, it looks like he and Dalton Rigdon were on they weren't in sync. He overthrew Rigdon. Rigdon thought he was thrown to somebody else behind him. The guy, the zone defender that was in zone just made an easy play on it, picked it off. Other than that, no turnovers. You didn't have any fumbles. You didn't lose anything. Besides that, your running backs, your rush offense, I thought looked pretty good. Sharondre Thompson. There were times, and I mentioned this like during the game, that like our runs look like they started really slowly. Like they may have been draws or like a delayed handoff, or just the movement between Bowman and Thompson kind of getting set to start the play. It just looked like it was a step or two slow. That Houston Baptist
so often it seemed intentional. It seems like they're being coached to do that, to wait a little bit, to maybe stutter step a little bit before taking off. Between the tackles or whatever. I don't know for sure, but it seemed like it happened so often. It worked out fairly well. I mean, Thompson had 22 carries, 118 yards, a couple of touchdowns. Brooks, really impressed with Brooks. I think he got the second string role this week with, of course, who knows if this was listed in a certain order. All they really specified was that Thompson was RB1, but Xavier White was out this week. A lot of guys out this week. There were 10 guys out this week, including linebacker Colin Schooler and DeMarcus Fields, McLean Mannix, a bunch of other guys that were out. But I was really impressed with Brooks, especially as a true freshman coming in, 8 carries, 25 yards, a touchdown of his own. Townsend came in a little bit more towards the end. He's a different style of runner, it seems. It seems like Brooks and Thompson are very similar. Townsend also 6 carries, 23 yards. It was a very effective running attack. That was one of the highlights of the day, was seeing these three guys carry the ball.
No, it was, yeah, it was, like you said, it was a high. It was fun to watch them do their thing. I thought there would be more spreading the ball around between the running backs, but I think out of necessity, you kind of leaned on Thompson, where I thought you'd see a lot more of Brooks and or White or Townsend or whatever. But Thompson got 22 carries, Brooks and Townsend combined for 14 carries. It felt like Brooks at least had a higher rush than, or, you know, average rush than he ended up with. It felt like he had a couple of, plays where he was stopped at the line or lost a yard or whatever that really, crippled his rushing average, because he was doing really well. He did well out of the backfield too. He had 2 catches for 26 yards. Townsend had 1 catch for 12 yards. So the running backs coming out of the backfield, we're picking up some yards there too.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Thompson himself had three catches for 13 yards. But yeah, so the running backs, I don't know about White. Obviously we didn't get to see him. I'm happy with what Thompson was able to do. Really surprised that Brooks was ready to go to take on that backup role tonight. And then how well he did tonight. I would have expected to see Townsend in a little sooner, but he did pretty well himself. Running backs were fine. Receiving, it was really spread out. Your leading receiver was Keyshawn Carter with 6 receptions for 86 yards. TJ Vasher.
And I think most of that came in the second half too.
Oh, for sure. It came like one or two drives, it felt like.
Yeah.
Vasher had 8 catches for 79 yards. Azukanma had 4 catches for 66. Jalen Polk, not a guy I was expecting to see a lot of, but he had 5 catches for 56 yards. Rigdon, 5 catches for 46 yards. So the ball, like, Bowman was able to get the ball to a bunch of different receivers, and they were fairly efficient. The thing I think we were most frustrated with in the passing game was Bowman throwing deep.
Yep.
One, mechanically, it looks like this dude has to wind up for a year to get that ball in the air. And then it's like so inaccurate. He overthrew the two fastest guys on the team. He overthrew Dalton Rigdon by about a step. But then he overthrew Keyshawn Carter by like 5 or 6 yards.
And they both would have been touchdowns.
Easy, yeah. So the dink and dunk worked out. The sideline screens that we didn't really see that until late when the offense started rolling again, probably in the fourth quarter, to Rigdon and Polk. But the downfield stuff, it felt like was there. Bowman was just not hitting his guys. Now, on the opposite side of the field, on defense, or if you look at the Houston Baptist offense, you were able to contain their rushing attack. They ran the ball 24 times for 28 yards. Heading into the preview, we said that's just not where their offense is going to be. They tried to keep you honest a little bit, but they had their main running back, Ian Beek, 16 carries, 34 yards for a 2.1 average. They had 4 other guys carry the ball. 3 of them carried once, and their quarterback carried it 5 times.
Yeah, I mean, it's really just eliminated the rushing attack. And that came in handy on that last drive, of course. Houston Baptist scored anyway, but I thought, well, there's no way they can run in from second and goal or third and goal here. They were too far away, and they hadn't been able to run the ball all night, but of course they just passed it on a quick slant or a drag or something running around the back and got it right on the end zone immediately. And thankfully, I think you pointed out that wasn't a great play call on that 2-point conversion. Otherwise we might be talking about a completely different game.
No, like when they came back from commercial break and they drew it up, they showed they had, what was it? 3 different tight ends in the game blocking. Like there was one person, one receiver running a route, which, I mean, even on a normal play, that's not, you know, it's not a 2-point conversion try. It's risky to have one receiver in a route, right? But when you need 3 yards and you need to convert, putting everything on one receiver, I don't know, it didn't feel like the right call there. Other than that, though, I thought Kittley called a great game for them. I hate to see a former Texas Tech assistant carve up Texas Tech the way he did. Passing game, man. Bailey Zappe, 30 for 49, 567 yards, 4 touchdowns. In our preview, we said, you know, if they throw for a bunch of yards, I wouldn't really worry about it. It's what they do. But here
they, I don't think we were thinking 567.
Yeah, here it is, throwing for nearly 600 yards. We're like, wow, okay, so we didn't consider that or at least I didn't, how bad the pass defense could look against an FCS opponent. Like they looked lost. They looked like they were covering guys that were much better than they were. They gave a lot of space. They were getting beat deep on double moves, on formations where they stacked receivers, on wheel routes. It looked like they just did not, like they just couldn't stack up against Houston Baptist receivers. And you hate to say that against an FCS opponent. And this isn't a team that has like a bunch of D1 transfers. This is a small school out of Houston that gets what they can. And they had two guys, three receivers go over 100 yards. One of them went over 200 yards on five catches. He had nearly a 42 yard per catch average.
Well, and Zappe, I mean, like you said, they're not D1 guys. Zappe's been there his whole career. You know, that he's a senior there, kid from Victoria. Does not play like an FCS quarterback. He's really smart. I know he took advantage of Tech a couple of times because I think one of the touchdowns, it was, forget which one, but I know it was on Zappe's left side. He saw that there was only one defender on the left, and he immediately, he was looking that direction before the ball was snapped, and he tossed it over there. And of course it was a touchdown. You know, it's not a good sign when your linebacker, you know, Boyer Randall probably makes one of the best pass breakup defensive plays of the game.
And it was downfield.
It was way downfield. It wasn't over the middle.
I mean, it was down, he was in coverage downfield.
Yeah. I mean, the linebackers were fantastic. I mean, would love to have seen Schooler, but hopefully we'll get to see him against Texas. But Eldridge played well. Jeffers, Merriweather. I mean, I don't have the stats up yet on a number of tackles. I wasn't able to load that this quickly, but Merriweather had that crucial, hate to say this now, but that crucial fourth down stop in the red zone. I mean, it was just between him and that running back, and he broke down and brought the guy down, and Tech got the ball back. I think it was right before halftime. And that was really a big change in the game, especially looking in retrospect. But Merriweather was all over the place. Really impressed with him. Not surprised by any means. I have a lot of high hopes for him for this year. But, you know, the defensive backs were rough. You know, Leggett got burned a lot. McPherson had a couple of PI calls that were really bad. Hogan was getting burned. Even Fry. One of Fry's was, I don't know if it was technically his fault, but I know there was one play where he got burned, but he started on the wrong side of the field and was running as fast as he could to get to the other side of the field. And then it was too late. That may have been that play I was just talking about, where Zappe saw that there was an uncovered receiver on his left.
So Merriweather leads the team in tackles tonight with 12. Jeffers was second with 8. Leggett with 7. Boyer Randall had 5. And then Adrian Fry and a bunch of people had 4 and 3. On the night, you had 3 sacks. Jalen Hutchings from the nose guard had a sack and a half by himself. Eli Howard, who as like an 18th year senior has forgotten how to tackle. I'm not sure what he's doing besides running past people and hoping his presence knocks him over. I don't know. Dude looked lost as a starter, as an upperclassman, just whiffing embarrassingly bad. And then Philip Bleedy and Nick McCann also chipped in a half a sack. You had 6 tackles for loss in the night, 1 interception, which is on that pass tip that ended up falling into McPherson's hands in the end zone. And then inexplicably decides that he's going to try to return it and gets to the 1. You had 8 QB hurries. So you were able to get a little bit of pressure on Zappe, but more often than not, it felt like your guys just ran right past him.
Well, and Patterson wasn't dialing anything up. I mean, it was 3-man rush just pretty much all game. He was dropping 8. Still, somehow Zappe was able to find open guys because he had time and he could dance around just enough back there to to keep from getting sacked for the most part. It was, that was one of the frustrating parts of it. You know, I thought the linemen played okay. I mean, I know they pretty rough on Howard missing some tackles. I honestly didn't see that as much. I'm sure it was there. I just didn't see it, but they did fine, but not like you'd expect against an FCS opponent.
Yeah, it just wasn't there, man.
I know that we're on the defense now, but I wanted to just touch on the offensive line. Did you have any thoughts on them? I mean, I was kind of getting some mixed reactions from the guys in the Stake in the Plane Slack chat. I felt like they did okay. And a lot of times I can tell, you know, I base how the line did by, you know, I felt the protection was okay. I felt like Bowman had enough time to get rid of the ball for the most part. And they were definitely able to, you know, create holes for Thompson to run through. So I felt like they did fine, but I wanted to see what your thoughts were.
Yeah, I mean, it felt like they were serviceable. There, towards the end, we were getting different camera angles, like from the end zone, from behind the offense. You're able to see a little bit more who was participating. And at that point, you would notice that Will Farrar had come in at center, Card or Cardi, whatever, he had been replaced at left tackle. So that they were still shifting through who was going to play on the offensive line, which we kind of expected they would. But in a game where you're blowing this team out and you were kind of trying to figure out who else you had, not let's figure out an offensive line. I don't remember anything egregious except for Dawson Deaton, who had three false starts.
Yeah, the false starts were a problem. That was an issue. I mean, overall, Tech did okay. I think they ended up with, well, I don't want to say okay, but 12 penalties, but it was for less than 100 yards. It was 13.
13 penalties for 104 yards.
It was 104. So last I looked, it was 12 for something.
99 probably.
Yeah, that was, I thought, well, that's not good at all, especially at home, and especially with how many false starts there were.
And it was false starts on both sides, but like I know that the coaching staff has talked about, like, they're trying to be a difference between effort penalties and mental penalties, that lining up offsides or having a false start, that's due to preparation and mental capacity. Then, you know, you get a holding because your man beat you, or a pass interference to save a touchdown or something. No, you weren't seeing a lot of that. You were seeing like early season jitters and mental errors, and you saw a lot of them.
Yep. Guys out of position. The defense just looked like they were meandering and lost a lot of times pre-snap. Just didn't look prepared. And, you know, Houston Baptist did. They did have the benefit of at least playing a game before this. But I expected Tech to look a lot more prepared. You know, that first drive sure felt like the first offensive drive. I'm just kind of switching gears again. Felt like a kind of a vintage Kingsbury, you know, script of first plays. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of it's just kind of, well, I don't know, let's try this. And that's kind of how it went. And luckily we're used to that as fans, but that doesn't make it easy. But that first drive, you know, you kind of thought, I knew better, but a part of me still thought, well, maybe they figured this out. Maybe this will be a you know, a pretty big win and they'll pull away, but was not the case.
Yeah. And I don't know if this lines up perfectly, but there was a time, early in the game, probably the second drive, and it was the first time that Alan Bowman stopped the snap and looked over the sideline. I was like, oh, looks like the script has run out. Like they've ran past into the script. Like, okay, now what? Cause the offense was moving. It seems like when you script out the plays, as we kind of railed on this against Kingsbury, like it worked the first drive tonight. And then you just kind of vanished for a while. And it wasn't like one specific thing we can point to on offense, like, well, here was a problem. I mean, it was You know, the running back having a slow start or running into a tackler or just a really bad time drop or an overthrow, like little things that if they're spread out, you can overcome. But it seemed like it kind of stacked up there for a little bit that kind of slowed you down early on. And then you got into it a better rhythm in the third and fourth quarter. Special teams, there wasn't much. McNamara did get out there to punt four times, average only 39 yards a punt with a long of 43. Had one down inside the 21, was a touchback.
Shouldn't have been.
It shouldn't have been, but the Gunners, like, I don't think they knew where the ball was. They didn't look like they had any idea where it was.
We gotta have a first team all Big 12. Come on, punt team. You gotta field that. You gotta field that for my guy.
He needs more. He needs much more than 39 yards per punt to make that. So for the game, offense puts up 624 yards of offense. Hooray! 13 penalties, 105 yards. You were 10 of 15 on third down, which is respectable. You're 5 of 6 on third down in the fourth quarter. So when it really counted, or, you know, when you needed to close this game out, you did. Cause there were times when that was in question. Like we said, it got down to a 1-point game, there towards the end, you were going to go for a field goal. Then you ended up, going for it on fourth down inside the 5, possibly got a really terrible spot on the ball that prevented you from getting the first down. And of course, with the angles and the just massive bodies, you weren't gonna be able to review that and overturn it. And then the failed 2-point conversion from Houston Baptist. You ran 95 total plays, time of possession 33 minutes, one turnover from, like I said, that early interception from Bowman. Four punts, 3 sacks.
Could be in for a long year, guys. I've wanted to ask you this, Spencer. You didn't seem as excited about me or as I was this morning about football. It kind of snuck up on me. I didn't expect to be this excited today, but I was. I was pacing around the house and just kind of happy to have it back on the screen. And my excitement's diminished a little bit. I've been brought back down to earth a little bit. I wanted to see how you feel now versus, you know, 11 a.m. this morning.
I was excited to see, you know, it back. I was expecting a different kind of game. And I guess the gap there between expectation and reality is like, oh man, this is not going to be good. And that's assuming that this is the type of performance you're going to get the rest of the year. Because like I said, if you do this the rest of the year, you may not win another game.
Yeah, this is going to be a very long 2-week break because Tech has the bye week on Saturday before Texas comes to town. And Texas absolutely demolished UTEP today, 59-3. Ellinger threw for 5 touchdowns in the first half. I'm not sure if he played again, but it was either 45-3 or 45-0 at halftime.
Which is what you're expecting tonight.
Yeah.
I mean, that was to it.
Maybe not to that extent. I really would have been surprised if Tech had broken 50 tonight. They haven't done that in exactly 2 years. So that would have surprised me. But yeah, I was expecting halftime to be something like 21-3. 24-3, and then, you know, you end up winning the game 48-17 or whatever it was I said. So that was what I was hoping for. I was even hopeful for, you know, a Maverick McIver sighting or Henry Columbia sighting, and that got nowhere near that type of comfort level to start putting in QB2/3.
Around the rest of the Big 12, Iowa State lost big to Louisiana at home, 31-14. Kansas State lost at home to Arkansas State, 35-31. West Virginia took care of business, 56-10. Oklahoma took care of business against Missouri State 48-0. You mentioned Texas. Baylor and TCU both did not play this weekend. And I would say at least we're not Kansas, but we lost to Kansas last year. So you can't really point to them and say, like they suck. But they're currently down 25 points to Coastal Carolina.
Yeah, I'm not going to say a word about that. I mean, there's really not much to say. We have no room to talk at this point. And I've got to wait for that game till the last game of the year. It'll be December.
So you won't be in the standings last in the Big 12 because there were teams that lost. So there's that little bit of hope. You will be listed ahead of Iowa State and Kansas State. I didn't watch enough of their games to pinpoint like what was going on with them, but maybe it's a little more widespread than just Texas Tech struggling the first week of the season. But, I'm not sure. Like, it's difficult, right, to take a lot of stock from this first game, but you definitely can have a good sense of direction if things don't go well. This is probably the worst you felt after a win since like that game against, was it Central Arkansas? Where like you beat them, you're like, holy crap, we were supposed to demolish them. That's kind of how this feels like.
I wasn't too high after UTEP last year either.
Yeah.
And this is, speaking of not being high on anything, you mentioned the OU score. I think it was, 48-0?
48-0. They did not cover, surprisingly.
I know, which is crazy. But here's a nice little tidbit for us to look forward to as Tech fans. Spencer Rattler became the first OU freshman quarterback to throw 4 touchdowns in his first career start. Asterisk, Rattler only played 1 half.
So remember when we were talking about, like, is Lincoln Riley going to do it again with Rattler? It may be
headed that direction.
So I did ask for some questions or reactions. Sean Mitchell, what the hell did we just watch? That's my question. Well, we watched Texas Tech defeat Houston Baptist in probably the most frustrating fashion. Red Raider check. Honestly, I was hoping the COVID would have shut down college football for selfish reasons. Yeah, there was a time when I was like, and I said this in our group chat, I was kind of embarrassed like to be excited and have felt like we fought to get to this point. And then be like, wow, this is what we've been like fighting for. This is like what we've been looking forward to for 6 months, you know. We're like, at least there will be football, right? When we talked about in the spring that basketball got shut down and baseball got shut down, like if we can just get to football, and we made it, and we're like, wow, this was the light at the end of the tunnel, and it's not so rosy.
Yeah, and you can even talk yourself into, well, you know, I kind of got used to life without sports. It was, you even go maybe down that road. Your mind just, this game makes you think a lot of things.
Redditor Chris, is Matt Wells already on the hot seat?
No. I've always thought he's got 3 years, period, before any sort of hot seat talk. But an L, I mean, it could have, but I think everyone's going to chalk up a lot of things to COVID stuff this year. I don't think that's a good excuse or one that he would use himself either, but
which is what
there's going to be some people that use that.
Right. So this is the next question. The last one we have is Seth Swearingen. How much of that do you attribute to COVID? Personally think that was worse than missing some practices and drills due to the virus. Just plain embarrassing.
I don't think we can attribute any of it to COVID because every school has had to deal with it in one form or another. And Houston Baptist is a school in Texas, just like Tech, and they're in Houston, and Houston had a big outbreak over the summer. I mean, I'm not going to put COVID as the fail safe for any of it. And I don't think that's what you're saying either. I think it's just, that's just where I'm headed with it. But I don't think that's what he meant by his tweet either. He was just asking in general.
Yeah. Now, also on Twitter, this looks like a post-game press conference quote from Wells, or maybe it was a post-game interview. from Coach Wells, want to know exactly where we wanted to be, might not have looked like we wanted it to. Yeah, no kidding. A little bit of salt from Tajon Henry. How that Texas Tech game looking?
Ooh, yeah. Well, I think they may play Baylor next week. Is that right? Is Tajon at Houston?
He's at Houston right now.
I think they might play Baylor next week because all of these scheduling troubles that have apparently been a thorn in everyone's side for scheduling football games for the past several decades have just kind of washed away now. It's not a problem to get a game on the schedule anymore. Houston Baptist was on the schedule for 6 weeks? And Baylor and Houston may play with like 8 days notice. I'm sure. Why the hell not?
Yeah. So yeah, I don't have anything else. Not looking forward to the season if this is how it's going to go, but we'll have plenty of time to chop it up and get back on the gravy train on the Kool-Aid for Texas in 2 weeks. Yeah.
That's it. That's all I got. I have
nothing else.
Guns up forever.
There will be a new baby in the Rogers family before then. So
that's right.
There's that to look forward to.
You timed it on a bye week. How about that?
Man, just perfectly. So yeah, for Michael, that'll do it for us on this post game instant reaction podcast of the 23 Personnel Podcast. Texas Tech defeats Houston Baptist 35-33. Up next is a bye week. And then Texas Tech hosts the University of Texas in Lubbock on the 26th. We will catch you next week on our regularly scheduled podcast on Tuesday. Maybe at some point next week, we will record a podcast. For Michael, I'm Spencer. We'll catch you next time.
Thank you for listening to the 23 Personnel Podcast and sharing our fandom for the Texas Tech Red Raiders. You can connect with us on Twitter at 23personnel, Spencer at PuntSuck, and Michael at Michael_LBK. And find even more great content over on stakingtheplains.com. Help us out by rating the show and leaving a review on iTunes and subscribe on whatever channel you listen to podcasts. Remember to tell your friends about the show. The guys will be back next week with another episode. And until then, guns up and let the tortillas fly.